Excited that you've tuned in online this morning. Before we get started, we are going to go to the Lord in prayer, and I'm just glad that everyone's here today. So let's just bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day, God, for each and every person that is tuned in or will tune in later to listen to this, God. I just pray that, as Pastor Artie speaks this morning, that it's not him who speaks, that it's you who speaks through him. God, thank you for the many blessings that you give us in this unprecedented hard time that we're going through, as not just a nation, but as a world. And I just pray for healing. And I just pray that people take time to see that what we need is you, God. Just be with everyone involved with this service, the people who are working the screen and the sound and everything that goes along with it, God. I just pray that your work is done this morning. Well, we love you and we praise you. All this we ask in your name. Amen. Hey, guys. I hope everybody can hear me. This week, I wanted to incorporate a little small children's sermon into this. So at this time, you can't send your kids down front, but if you're watching and there are kids near you, show them the screen, show them what's going on. If you guys are listening to this as kids, know that I miss you and I love you, and I look forward to this huge celebration we're going to have when this is all over with. And I get to get my hugs again. I get to get in front of you and just share the gospel with you face to face. But for now, this is what we have to do. I just hope you enjoy it. I wanted to talk to you guys this morning, the kids, about crying. And I want you to think about a time when you have ever cried or shed tears for something that's going on. And what caused that? Maybe it could be that you wanted something in the store and your parents wouldn't get it for you, so you cried and shed tears over that. Maybe you fell down outside and you cried over that. Maybe you were sick and just didn't feel good and you cried over that. The reason I wanted to talk about that and what I want to share you with is that crying is something that is okay. Did you know the shortest verse in the Bible is about Jesus crying? If you didn't know that, that is John chapter 11, verse 35. And that verse is Jesus wept. And what's going on surrounding this story is Jesus' his very best friend on this earth, Lazarus, was sick and had got really, really sick, and he had passed away. And God was using this to show the power of his son and the power that, and to show what God has control over. And when Jesus came, everybody was really upset, because if Jesus would have came just a few days earlier, that Lazarus might have been okay. Jesus could have healed him. They had seen and heard that Jesus could heal people. But Jesus waited, and he waited for a reason. But when he got there, before he did anything, he shed tears over Lazarus. He was upset that his friend has died. That his friend had died, even though knowing what was going to happen, that God was in control. And shortly after this, I won't go into those verses right now. But shortly after this, Jesus was able to raise Lazarus from the dead. What I want you to see out of this, kiddos, is that God gave us our emotions. He gave us the ability to cry, to smile. And there are times that we cry because we're sad, or we cry because we're in pain, or we cry because we're happy. And I want to assure you that those times that you cry, that it's okay, because if Jesus shed tears, then it's okay that we shed tears. And just know that Jesus loves you. And I love you and I miss you. And I'll bow my head again and I'll say a short prayer. And just know I look forward to seeing you again. God, thank you for the little ones who may be watching this morning, God. I know that as adults, we don't always think about what's going on in our kids' minds. But it's really hard on these kids right now. They may say, yeah, they're glad to be out of school and they're glad to be home. But in reality, they're scared and they miss their friends and they miss being with people. God, I just pray that you comfort them and that if they're hearing this, God, they know that you love them and that there are so many people that do love them. God, once again, just keep everyone safe that's going through things, and I just pray that your will be done through all this. Lord, I love you and I praise you. All this I ask in your name.
Okay, everybody, thank you for being here. We're going to try something different. We're actually going to have a little bit of music this morning, pre-recorded, of our choir singing. So if you would please just listen to this.
We lift you up. We lift you up. We lift you up on our praises. We lift you up. We lift you up. We lift you up on our praises. We lift you up. 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 We lift you
really hope that sounded as good online as it sounded here in the sanctuary. Very talented, and we appreciate everything that our choir does when we're able to meet. But thank you again for joining us today, and we're going to continue our study on spiritual gifts today. And we're going to look at the gift of evangelism, or the gift of the evangelist. Our text is the same as it was last time we spoke about spiritual gifts. It's Ephesians 4, 11 through 12. And this is what this says here as Paul writes to the church in Ephesus. He says, "And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the service, to the building of the body of Christ." And let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for the reading of your word. Dear Lord, you promised us that your word will not return void. And as we read this, dear Lord, help us to understand exactly what you mean by what you had Paul write. Bless this time. Speak through me today, dear Lord. And it's in the holy and precious name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen. So what is an evangelist? It says very clearly in the first part of this verse that we just read in verse 11, it says, "And he gave as some as evangelist." So this is a specific gift. The term evangelist is derived from the Greek word euangelistes, meaning a messenger of glad tidings or good news. Now, an evangelist has a particular gift in telling others the good news about Jesus Christ. That is what the word gospel literally means, is good news. And the evangelist's job is to proclaim the gospel message to others. That is the main thing. We know one of the greatest evangelists of all times was from our area, Billy Graham. He reached thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. He did not pastor a local church, but he was responsible for getting the good news of Jesus Christ out to the masses. And through his ministry and him sharing the gospel, countless people came to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. He was definitely called to be an evangelist. He had the gift of evangelism. Now let's look at this gift of evangelism. In verse 12 it says, "For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the service, to the building of the body of Christ." A person with the gift of evangelism is often someone who travels place to place, just like Billy Graham did, and preaches the gospel and a call to repentance. They come in, they preach, they run a crusade, they have a revival, and then they leave and go somewhere else. But that is not always necessarily the case. What makes the gift of evangelism different than that of the apostle or the pastor of shepherds? What is it? What's the difference? Because myself as a pastor and any other pastor, we proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, just like the gift of the apostle being different from the gift of pastor or shepherd, the pastor is responsible for a local body of believers. We shepherd, we guide, we direct, we are responsible for the spiritual care and the physical care of a local body of believers. Yes, we do what we can by sharing the gospel to build that body, but it's a local body. The gift of the apostle, somebody that is called as an apostle, they come in and they build. We talked the last time about them being like missionaries or church planters. They come in. They start a body. They build a church from nothing. Yes, they proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to build that church. And they build that church. They set up a church. But then they hand the reins over to somebody else. And they go and do it again. The evangelist, they come in, proclaim, call for repentance, but lead people to Jesus Christ, and then they go to the next place to do that. They do not stay put necessarily. The evangelist's main focus is the presentation of the gospel message. Their message compels the hearer to turn to God by way of faith in Jesus Christ. And here's the thing, and this is going to be the same case with a lot of these spiritual gifts. Evangelism is the responsibility of all believers. And while that is true, the evangelist has been given a special ability to present the gospel. What do we mean by that? Well, we are all under the command of the Great Commission. We are all to go out and to make disciples, teaching them to obey everything that God has commanded us. That is all our responsibility, wherever we are in life. It is not just the pastor's responsibility. It's not just the apostle's responsibility. It's not just the evangelist's responsibility. It is every believer's responsibility to be the witness that God has called us to be, to further the gospel and to make disciples. Every believer, that is our responsibility. But in the case of the evangelist, the Holy Spirit has gifted them with a special ability to talk to people in a way that they will understand the gospel of Jesus Christ. They are able to go in and speak to people. It doesn't have to be to mass gatherings. Having the gift of evangelism does not mean that you have to travel the world and speak to large groups. Yes, that's one type of evangelist, but we have people within every church that are born-again believers that have been gifted by the Holy Spirit with the gift of evangelism. And they have a drive to lead people to Christ. They have a drive to preach, or not necessarily preach, but to share the gospel. In Acts chapter 8, we see that Philip did one-on-one evangelism, personal evangelism, one-on-one, as he did with speaking to the eunuch, that he ran and met up with the eunuch and led him to Christ one-on-one. But he also spoke and preached to large groups of people. He did both. And then also, Paul encourages Timothy to use the gift of evangelism while shepherding a group of believers. And he says this in 2 Timothy 4:5, "But you, be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of the evangelist, fulfill your ministry." Timothy was a young preacher. He was given responsibility of a local body that Paul had been part of starting. And when he turned the reins over to Timothy, he told him, "Don't forget to fulfill your ministry. Don't forget to do the work of the evangelist." He had been given that gift of evangelism and of shepherding. Many times these do go hand in hand. But here's the thing. The whole thing about these gifts, spiritual gifts, were given to individuals for one purpose, and that is to build up the body of Christ. To build the body of Christ by leading people to Jesus Christ. And then also to help them grow, by to fulfill the Great Commission. He gave us a job to do in assigning us or commanding us to reach those and to make disciples. But then he
on top of that, gave us the gifts or the means to do just that as a body of believers. Not everybody that is a member of a local church, a Bible-believing, not everybody that has been born again by the blood of Jesus Christ has the same gifts as the person sitting next to them in a pew. That is because it takes all of these gifts. We're all different. But it takes all of us working together as one body to fulfill the Great Commission. And now more than ever, it is important for churches to do this very thing. To use the gifts that God has given us to reach as many people as possible with the hope of Jesus Christ. Because right now, especially here in North Carolina, as we have just been given the order to stay at home by our governor, and that within here in Bowling Springs in Cleveland County, we're getting more and more cases of COVID-19. Because we're a rural county, some of us may have felt immune, or this was something that was happening somewhere else. But in fact, it is happening here within our own community right now. We are not immune. But our hope is found in Jesus Christ. And now more than ever, our world and our community needs born-again Christians to use the gifts that the Spirit has given them to build the body of Christ and to share the hope in a world that seems to have lost it. It was not by accident that God gave these gifts, because He knew then what needed to be done then and what needs to be done now, and it's the same thing. We need to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we all do it in different ways. But God has called some to be evangelists. And if God has called you to share the gospel, if He has called you to be an evangelist, don't deny that. Don't put that on a back burner. Do that. Use the gifts that God has given you to build the body of Christ. And if you would now join me in prayer. Our blessed Heavenly Father, thank you so much for everything that you have done for us. Thank you for being you. Lord, thank you for those that were able to gather with us this morning at 10 o'clock to pray. And dear Lord, you are an awesome God. And we love you, and we praise you. Dear Lord, we're learning so much, so quickly about how to reach other people. And I thank you for those that are in leadership over us, that are being able to give us the information that we need and making things available to us. Dear Lord, I just lift up the healthcare workers, the first responders, those that are on the front line dealing with this virus. Dear Lord, keep them safe. Dear Lord, we know people personally that have been exposed to this virus, that have been tested for this virus. And dear Lord, that are under quarantine. Dear Lord, but we also know people that work day to day, face to face with this virus. And we lift them up to you. Dear Lord, place a shield of protection around them. Keep them safe. And dear Lord, those that have contracted this virus, dear Lord, just touch their bodies, strengthen them, allow them to continue to fight. And dear Lord, for those that have had their hours cut, or have lost their job altogether, dear Lord, I pray for them. I lift them up to you, dear Lord. Allow us to be able to help meet needs when the needs arise. But, dear Lord, let them feel your presence. Let them feel your peace. And, dear Lord, for the rest of us, allow us to be the church that you've called us to be. Allow us to reach out and share the hope of Jesus Christ. Let them see a difference in us, dear Lord, in how we deal with this thing, that we are not controlled by fear. But, dear Lord, we have the courage that you gave us to stand strong. Allow us to do just that. And, dear Lord, we pray that as we continue to get used to our new normal, that you will keep us safe. Dear Lord, give us the wisdom to know what we should do and when we should do it. And dear Lord, just be with the ones who have had to change some pretty important events in their lives because of this. Dear Lord, be with our leaders. Give them the wisdom that only you can give. Because in many cases, regardless of what decision they make, somebody's not going to like it. But dear Lord, give them the wisdom to see what is the right thing to do. And give them the courage to do the right thing. Dear Lord, we give you all the honor and glory for everything, even in the midst of this storm. And we praise your name. And it's in the holy and precious name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen. Thank you for joining us this morning. And if you are looking for a place to join for Wednesday nights, please join us as we continue to study the book of Numbers at 6 o'clock on Wednesday nights here on Facebook Live. Thank you. Goodbye. Okay. I don't think it was after I announced it. I don't think it was, but hey.
I don't think. I couldn't get it to pull up on the computer. I don't know how to get to it.
How to get what?
The live stream. I couldn't get to pull up on the computer. Somebody has to share it or have a watch party to do it a lot of times.
I don't know, but there's been people. There were people watching it because I kept getting.
I don't know how. I couldn't get on it. I got it. I was trying to get on the computer and Faith couldn't get it either. Faith found it on a watch party, but the thing you posted, like to the thing, I don't know how you get to it.
Well, I'll show you when we get home.
We went and it said it was going, and Chad had a watch party, and Faith joined him, and that's the only way she could see it.
All right, we had four comments. Hang on. Okay, we had a lot of.